NYG Weekly.
Let's ride.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly. Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Subscribe to the pod. We're everywhere where you get your favorite podcast: iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, we are convened here today because the New York Giants have not one, but two startable quarterbacks on their roster, and we're here to talk about it. Most recent news: Russell Wilson signing a 1-year contract. Jameis Winston here to back him up, also on a 1-year contract. Let's talk about it.
2-year contract.
2-year contract. Weiss.
Yes.
You start.
You know, when we last spoke about adding a starting caliber quarterback, one of the things I always talked about was a safe landing on the other side. You know, not putting yourself in a situation where you're in no man's land and trading, you know, draft picks, $100 million contracts, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I think the Giants made out well. Now, obviously, pretty clear that Russell Wilson was not their first choice, was not their second choice, and who knows, maybe it's not their third choice either. But the money that they put into Russell Wilson is not significant enough. I think I told you guys right before the air, and anybody can fact check me on this, but according to Sports Track, who lists out all these contracts on a yearly basis, when you take out the quarterbacks on a rookie contract, Russell Wilson, in terms of his yearly salary, which is $10 million, I know there's incentives tied to it too, but his yearly salary is the lowest starting quarterback salary in the NFL when you take out rookie contracts. So again, I'm just, you know, putting that out there just to highlight how this investment is so low. As for the quarterback, I don't know what Russell Wilson is at this stage of his career. I think the way it ended in Pittsburgh was not good, specifically the last 6 games, took a lot of sacks. The one thing I do know is he does throw the ball well down the field. That's his bread and butter. He likes to throw the ball deep. I've seen the advanced stats with the EPA, and it's not good. But again, for $10.5 million, given where the Giants are, it's a smart move. And then from a roster construction standpoint, you know, one of the things that everyone has talked about, including us, was how much they botched the quarterback room last year, where it wasn't a guarantee they were going to get the quarterback they wanted. They wanted Drake May. They tried to trade for Drake May. It didn't happen. And rather than, you know, doing this, of adding a legitimate veteran quarterback that can come in and compete with Daniel Jones, they just signed Drew Lock and went back to Daniel Jones like nothing happened, and we saw what happened. So I think this year, not putting all your eggs in the draft bucket. I know obviously people are going to say this illustrates that they don't like any of the quarterbacks. I'm not denying that. That's you can come to that conclusion if you want. But I think what this shows is, hey, we have a quarterback that can start in Russell Wilson. We have a backup in Jameis Winston who can come in for a game or two if Russell Wilson can't play. And we can have a functioning offense. And hey, if we're sitting there at 3 and a quarterback becomes available, we'll take that quarterback too and then figure out what to do with the quarterback room after. I think that's a good problem to have rather than what happened last year. So, like I said, does this make the Giants a playoff team? No. What it does is it gives the Giants options. It's an insurance policy. It's something that they should have done last year because they had Russell Wilson in the building. So, like I said, I'm happy about it because there's no real investment made. There's not future years and the guaranteed dollars. We didn't trade for him. We signed a quarterback to a $10 million contract. Our quarterback room is Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and the total cost of that is $14.5 million in 2025. Can't ask for anything better.
Well, a franchise quarterback, but well, I get yeah. it. I think the nice thing about... Yeah. Yeah, the nice thing about this, like you said, Weiss, is that even though Joe Shane is on the hottest seat in the league, their win total is 3.5. Guy's staring down the barrel of a gun. He understands that this is a weak draft. They tried the Matthew Stafford route. It didn't work out. And I'm still not going to hamstring the future of this team doing something stupid, trying to fix the quarterback situation. At the same time, I do believe that both Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are good enough. Even still, Russell Wilson, I think he's, what, 36 years old. I know Jameis is only 31. But both of them are still good enough where you can get an idea of what this team actually is. Us, other Giants content creators, have gone back and forth on Twitter talking about how good the offensive line actually was to start the season before Andrew Thomas went down. The offensive line wasn't a huge problem. They've got pass catching weapons. They've got a exciting young running back in Tyrone Tracy, a super young defense, and there's a lot of room for this team to grow. And it was apparent to everyone who was watching, Two Eyes, analytics, whatever you want to use, that this team was egregiously held back by quarterback play. A room of Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Tommy DeVito is not going to do it. They finally have competent play, and it hasn't hurt them in any sense in the future. So you have to be, I'm not going to say you have to be happy, but it's really tough to be upset. It really is.
This is like the perfect, I'll say, middle ground of like, they've been atrocious on offense, you know, 31st and 28th in scoring offense over the last 2 years. And it's largely been because they haven't had an NFL caliber quarterback. Jones, DeVito, Locke, other than the one game against the Colts, they have not had an NFL caliber starting quarterback. They have had backups that are forced into roles that they aren't prepared to play in. And it's come at the detriment of a lot of guys around them. And Russ, for what he is, it's going to be a lot of underneath stuff. It's going to be very, very outside. He doesn't throw to the middle of the field a whole lot anymore, which helps because the Giants don't really have a tight end that, at least right now, is a serious pass catcher. Maybe Theo Johnson, but we'll see about that. This is good because, most importantly, it gives them breathing room. And like Ethan said, if you're looking down the barrel of a gun, a little bit of breathing room helps. This doesn't dramatically alter the direction of the team, but at the very least, they are not going to be an atrocity like they've been the last 2 years. And that's, it sounds really pathetic saying at least they're not going to be the worst offense in the league. But like, that's what they've been for almost two straight seasons now. So that is progress. And most importantly, they aren't stuck with somebody in their late 30s for 2, 3, 4 years, and they didn't burn any draft picks. And even if you like Sanders or Cam Ward at 3, you've got breathing room now where if you take one of those guys, you don't have to start them right away. You can give them a little bit of time. And let's say Russ gets hurt, you can go to Jameis. You don't have to shoehorn Cam Ward or Shadur into a situation where, well, we're trying to make the, we're trying to win 8 or 9 games so no one gets fired here. You have to play well right now. And it is important that the Giants learn from their mistakes. This fits a recurring theme that we've discussed on the show a lot over the years, that the Giants are always a year late to what they should do, whether it's changing the quarterback or changing the head coach. In this case, they had their quarterback in the building last year and they wouldn't give him a chance to start or guarantee him a chance to start. And because of that, their season went down the toilet last year. No matter how much we say, well, they were in a lot of those games, no matter how much Joe Shane says they were all one score games, if you had Russell Wilson, you probably win at least one or two more of those games. And the conversation about the team is a little bit different. And you're not as in a dire spot right now, but learning from your mistakes is good. Don't do the sunk cost fallacy stuff of, well, we were in there last year, we can't bring him in. No, this is the right decision. It's a year late, and frankly, it might not be enough to save their jobs, but at least they have learned a lesson.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you said, Nick, unequivocally, this is a better quarterback situation than what it was a year ago. They were paying $47 million to Daniel Jones and $5 million to Drew Lock. That's $52 million allocated to Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is getting more from the Colts than they're giving Russell Wilson. Like,
correct. And people keep harping on incentives. If Russell Wilson earns incentives,
that means the team's good.
Exactly. So and if Jameis earns incentives, the same thing. I don't think they both can earn the same incentives. So look, I think, you know, you said you learn from what happened last year. If they draft a quarterback, you know, the big thing that people keeps harping on is like, why would they draft a quarterback and make him a third string guy? Well, they don't have a quarterback on the roster after this year. All three of these guys are going to be free agents. So that's one of the reasons why you would draft a quarterback. And the second is, like you said, you don't have to rush a guy in. You know, obviously we know the sort of mandate from ownership of losing patience and wanting results. This allows them to do that. They can bring on the quarterback slowly. And win totals and all that aside, I think there's a way where you can save your job by showing progress, even though the results don't show that progress. What they did here, and I think this offseason, about not kind of, you know, throwing Hail Marys, I think that is one of the things where you're not, it's not a situation where you're trying to save.
It's not desperation.
Exactly. You know, this is, if a new regime came in and did this, I think, you know, we wouldn't have a problem with it. And me personally, I don't care about what's in the best interest of this regime. I care about what's in the best interest of the Giants. So something like this makes more sense than what the alternative options were.
Yeah.
Even though the alternative options were better.
Yeah. And we've spoken about it too. At some point, you needed competent quarterback play because you have to develop the rest of this roster. The offensive line is still young. Leak Neighbors is still young. Wandale Robinson is still young. Terron Tracy is still young. These are all young guys. It's a very young team, especially on the defensive side of the ball as well. You need competent quarterback play to keep pushing this roster and developing these guys because it's all about the future at this point. Now, should we talk about what this means for the draft? Because I've been, regardless of these signings, pretty adamant that Travis Hunter is going to be the pick at three. It seems like every single, both local and national beat writer got their marching orders in saying that, oh, no, they have two quarterbacks, but Shadur is not off the table. I don't buy that for a second. What do you guys think?
Well, they got some other marching orders too, but that's from other people.
Yeah, well, we won't get into that.
But smokescreen season.
I don't think this everything I've heard over the last 2 months has been, listen, they really like Shadur Sanders. And I think that if Shadur Sanders is there at three, I think they'll take him. If he's taken at two, which I think is a legit possibility. My question with the Travis Hunter thing is, where would he be a corner or would he be?
Yeah, he's a cornerback.
He's a corner.
So what does that mean for Deontay Banks? Because you paid Paulson Adebo.
It means your CB2. Yeah.
And then you draft Travis Hunter, and then you got Drew Phillips in the slot. I mean, where does he go to the bench? I mean, I think that, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to, but I'm saying like that's a legit, you know, okay, what will happen then? Abdul Carter, again, what does that mean for Kayvon Thibodeaux, right? Like they also signed Chancey Golston too. I know he's more of a rotational piece, but again, all these things I'm not against.
These are good things. These are good problems. If you have three good pass rushers and like actively good ones, and Thibodeaux is a little more boxed in, and more importantly, you're not believing in the sunk cost fallacy. You spent a first round pick on Deontay Banks. He's not good. He's not good. And you'll make that determination when the time comes. Same thing as far as Kayvon. You know, Carter's unequivocally a better prospect than Kayvon was coming out. Yes. I would argue that Travis Hunter is the most exciting defensive back prospect in a while, maybe since, well, Christian Gonzalez had a lot of hype. That was only 2 years ago. But Travis Hunter's got a real amount of hype for what he is to play corner. And I'm sure they'll find a way to get him a little bit involved on offense, too. But that's a good problem to have if you have too many good corners or too many good pass rushers.
I think the Browns are bluffing. I don't think the Browns are going to take a quarterback. I think they're trying to make it seem like they're going to take a quarterback. The reason why I think Shadur could go, too, is I think they're looking for a trade partner.
It would make sense.
I think they want to go back, stay in the top 10. There's a team like New Orleans been floated around, the Jets a little bit, but I think there's a good chance Shadur can go too, because I think Cleveland would be the cost to stay in the top 10 and trade out, I think wouldn't be as high as people, you know, as we typically see with these trade outs.
Well, that's the problem. If Cam Ward goes one,
Cam Ward is going one.
It's I'm obvious.
Positive.
It's obvious that the NFL is not chomping at the bit to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
So I don't think Cleveland has any sort of ammunition to trade out. I think they just go Carter, pair him with Garrett. There you go.
Do you think that Cam Ward is the best quarterback in this draft?
I do.
That's a popular opinion. I still think Sanders is my quarterback. I haven't changed off that stance.
We all know where I stand. No, I need to revisit that.
I was just wondering how you would rank it. But look, I just think that if Sanders is there, all the work that they've done, all the stuff.
Oh, it's a consideration. It's definitely that we've seen.
I just have a tough time seeing them pass on that opportunity. And you guys know my theory on Sanders, so I don't think this changes much of their draft plans. I think it just gives them insurance. And then between Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, I think that's an interesting debate as well, because like, I think Abdul Carter is the best player in this draft.
I would agree.
I think Travis Hunter obviously has the upside because he can play both sides of the ball. But I right now, you asked me to rank the draft. I would say Abdul Carter 1, Travis Hunter 2.
And then Mason Graham 3, probably.
Dude,
at least for me, I would probably put Mason Graham 3.
Yeah, I would. Sure. But I think Ashton Gentry is also really, really good.
That's fair. He's very good. I could see him definitely going pretty. I think he goes in the top 12, 13 picks. I think he definitely goes very high. He's very impressive. The one question I did want to ask you off of this, do you think they take a developmental quarterback on day 2 or 3 if they don't take one at 3?
I hope not. I hope not. Because, like, if they take
Milroe, Dart,
let's take Jalen Milroe, right? And let's say they won. What's their win total, Ethan?
3.5.
Let's say they won 4 games, 5 games, right? What are you going to learn from Jalen? Like a new regime comes in, what are we going to learn from? What is Jalen Milroe going to do? I think if you're not taking a quarterback at 3, I think at that point with picks 34 and 63, there's going to be some really good players. I think the way I look at this draft is there's about 8. There's 2 to 4 blue chip prospects that are instant day one star caliber players. And then there's about another 12 to 13 players that I think are going to be, you know, good players that can potentially be great players. But where I'm trying to get to is like from like when you rank players from like 17 to 40 or 17 to 50, a lot of that's,
well, some positions congested. It's not defensive tackle.
A lot of those prospects are congested together where you can see how people rank them. Point being is I think they can get a really good player at 34. And I think they can get a really good player at 63. And I think so many people are fixated on save job, get quarterback. The one thing us three have always talked about since last year, when we went back to the Malik Nabers pick, Joe Shane has not drafted well, and that's the main reason why he should lose his job. Yes, the quarterback position he botched on, right? But this roster is so weak that, you know, if he had drafted good players, we can overlook the fact that he took a swing on Daniel Jones, but he hasn't drafted well. If he can, according to what he says, that 2024 draft class is a good draft class. And I think it is a good draft class. I think there's potential for, you know, Nabers, you know, Drew Phillips. They got some start. Newbin can be a good starting player. You can start to get 3-4 starters out of a draft class. I think that's a really good draft class. Coming into this year, if he can have another strong draft class, regardless what happens with the quarterback position, and we're looking at the end of the year, like, okay, there's a core foundation that's emerging. There's some good young players. Then you can have that conversation. But the Giants need good players. They need starting players. You know, I like the Paulson Adebo signing. I really like the Javon Holland signing. But you know what those two signings illustrated to me the most? The one area that they invested the most draft capital in was their secondary. And they still had to go out and sign 2 big money free agent signings, but a safety and a corner. So that illustrates how bad this roster is.
I mean, we talked about that when we had Dan Duggan on back in the fall. Was there's like three guys on this roster on both overall that are like you could start on a good team. And that's an issue. You know, of course, you want to get to a baseline level of competency, but the goal is to be a good football team. And they have maybe four actively good players and they're starting 22 on both sides of the ball. That's an issue. They need to get better players in here. You're unequivocally correct. This roster is really unimpressive when you go player by player and compare it to some of the better teams.
I mean, I know that they got a bit unlucky with the schedule.
Yeah.
But what does it say about the state of your roster when you finish last in your division, you're picking third overall in the draft, and you still are projected for only 3.5 wins? But I do agree with what Wise said. The team needs talent, and you can excuse the quarterback situation if they had everything but. And I feel like that was the situation with the Colts for quite some time in the post-Andrew Luck era, where it was like, all right, they got the offensive line, they've got a good running back, they've got some receiving weapons, defense is pretty good, they need the quarterback to push them over the hump. The Giants don't even have that, right? So the 2024 draft develops. They get just good players in the 2025 draft. And assuming you see this improvement and I'll say learning experience from the GM in past mistakes, and they actually have a good future everywhere but the quarterback position, you can start to excuse it and give these guys another chance to figure it out.
I wouldn't say excuse it. I'm saying just like, hey, okay, we see progress, but we still need a quarterback. Like, you know, but to pick you off what off you said, Ethan, a little bit is, I think the biggest like misconception with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll has been with the quarterback. I think it bypasses how bad their roster construction has been. All the 2022 draft class is looking really, really bad. I mean, is there one player from that 22 class that you can look to and say, that's a second contract guy? Like, you would pay that guy a second contract? I mean, they just re-signed Darius Slayton, right? I don't know what that means for Wandell Robinson. The 2023 draft class, the same way. If they draft Travis Hunter, Deontay Banks is not going to be on the field as much, right? Jalin Hyatt already is not going to be on the field. JMS, we're still waiting for him to get better, you know? So again, draft good players, the more good players, and I know it's crazy to say, the more good players you draft to go along with the competent quarterback play, the results will be there too. So that's why I'm against it. But Milroe's athleticism is enticing. Like, that's exciting. I would like to see that. But again, it's not something where I'm not one of those people right now that are like, okay, you have to take a quarterback in the second and third round if you don't take one at three. I'm on record. I would take Shador Sanders at three. I think it would be a perfect situation for him to come into where there's not a lot of pressure for instant success. They can sort of stash him away for the first month, whatever. I would do it. I also like Sanders as a prospect. But after that, if you don't take Sanders, I'm not for this whole get back into the first round and take Jackson Dart. Like, to me, that's not, I would not do that at all. Or use, you know, once you get into the later rounds, you know, third, fourth, sure, you can, you know, throw a dart at a quarterback. But those first three picks, I think they have a chance to get, obviously, a really good player, a star at number three overall. And then those other two picks, 34 and I think 63. They can get, in my opinion, two quality starters.
The one last thing I wanted to say, this will be a real test to see if Brian Daboll can actually run an offense or not.
Because exactly.
He won't be able to use the quarterback play as an excuse. And I think that's arguably the most important part of this conversation as far as where they go into the future. Because if the quarterback play was so reprehensibly bad that objectively a play caller with decent track record couldn't do anything, that if he has a full season of Russ and Jameis and the offense is still bottom five, I think you have all you need to know. I think your goal, if they can be league average offensively with this group, I think you could call that a success. And I think that would be a sign of progress. You know, the Steelers, I think, were I want to say 23, 24 points a game, which was like 16th or 17th in the league last year. If they can get to that tier, if they can get to 19th, 18th in scoring offense, I think that's enough to believe that they're heading in the right direction, because the offense, if the offense is better, that will by default make the defense better, because it'll be on the field less. And I think that's been the biggest issue for the defense over the last 2 years, is in the games they've lost, the close games, defense just on the field too much. The offense can't sustain possessions for extended periods of time. And when they do, they don't even come away with points. So it's unequivocal. It is the most important thing that the offense shows signs of improvement, and that Dable shows he can scheme an offense, because that's still kind of up for debate whether or not Dable's a good offensive head coach and a good play caller. I mean, are we going to see Mike Kafka calling plays again? Like, there are real questions about the offense. And I think that's the most important thing now about having that baseline level of competency on top of, you know, as Ethan said, the development of Neighbors and Tracy and Theo Johnson and Wandale. And they need to show some improvement, and they're kind of out of excuses now. You brought in two veterans who have okay track records.
Yeah. One of the other things is they've basically admitted that they think all the offensive problems were on the quarterback situation.
Yes.
Because they brought back everyone else on offense.
Yes.
By the way, one of the most shocking thing as a Giants fan that I have seen is the fact that Darius Slayton returned to the Giants on a 3-year deal. I can say this now. Darius Slayton hated the front office. Darius Slayton put a lot of stuff out there about the front office, about locker room issues. The fact that he came back before the quarterback situation was settled. And I think he had similar offers from other teams, by the way. It's not crazy money that he got, like the Giants overpaid. The fact that he came back, I was legitimately stunned. I thought when I saw the tweet, I was like, there's no way this is real. But he came back. But to piggyback, like you said, Nick, they've basically said it was the quarterback situation, because the coaches are back, the players are back, and the only thing that's going to be different is the quarterback. So, okay, let's see.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
I know. I'm not saying you're going to be wrong. It's not devil's advocate, but go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
All right. The players are back. It's a young roster. And a team in disarray, you don't want the GM going balls to the wall in free agency. Like, it makes sense. And I'm not saying that your thesis is wrong, because he's publicly stated it was the quarterback. But the players are back because it's a young roster. The coaches are back because this head coach can't afford to bring in a third defensive coordinator, nor would there be anyone willing to come here with him on the hot seat. Offensive coordinator, I think Kafka's just playing out his contract, being a good old boy. You know, I don't think that there's too much to be done on either front. But publicly, they have, yes, stated that this was all the quarterback, and we're about to find out if that's true or not. So buckle up. Anything else?
One last question. This is quick. How many games does each one start?
That's a great question. Russ
and Jameis Winston. I think it's going to be like 11-6. I think something in that ballpark. Maybe 12.
If they don't draft the quarterback?
Yeah. How many does Russ and Jameis start?
I don't think Jameis starts a lot. I, barring injury, I think Russ goes maybe the distance if they don't add a quarterback.
I would agree.
Yeah. If he gets hurt, obviously Jameis comes in. But I think Jameis was signed to be the backup. It's a 2-year, $8 million deal with 4 guaranteed. He's the backup quarterback. If something happens to the starter, Jameis will play. Let's say they bring in a quarterback, though. Let's say they go Sanders at 3. How much does Sanders sit?
He sits the whole year.
Yeah.
You think so? The whole year they're going to sit?
Whole year.
Maybe Deion one
Sanders'
game.
Son.
Maybe one really? Game. Yeah. They need to show progress. They need to show
wins. You guys think, that if they bring in Shador Sanders with the hype and the who he is and who his dad is, that
it's better for him.
I'm not talking about what's better.
It's better for literally everybody.
and the fact that it's New York and the Giants have been starving for a quarterback, you think he would sit the whole year?
Shador Sanders would start 0 games because, one, he is not ready. And I think even his father would admit that. Two, because the only way that Shedeur Sanders is starting a game is if the Giants have like zero wins or one win at the bye.
It went to 3.5.
Okay. But I think they go over that. I think we would all agree that they're going over that.
I don't. Yeah, right now I would say that, but I.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
Things have to go catastrophically wrong as they have been the last few years. Something's got to change, but you don't bring in two veterans with a GM and coach on the hot seat and then start your media sensation podcast hosting rookie quarterback if you're trying to keep your job.
I hope Shedeur starts inviting beat reporters on his podcast.
If Shedeur Sanders does not start if they draft Shedeur and he doesn't start a game the entire year, that means that Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston had a insane career redemption arc in 2025.
I think we're talking about a scenario that's not even going to be feasible, but if they do pick Shedeur, we can set up a bet.
I think he'll be playing by definitely before Thanksgiving, somewhere between Halloween and Thanksgiving. They're going to give Russ, you know, 5-6 games. That's going to happen.
What did Brissett get last year for New England before they started Drake May? 4-5?
I think he got 4 or 5, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I could see an argument.
And that was a first-time head coach. That was a first-time head coach that wasn't. Dude, if they're in fact, losing
they,
games.
They did him dirty, but May is on another planet from Shedeur.
Correct.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but if they draft a quarterback 3rd overall and Russ is struggling, there's a zero chance that they're not going to, especially with this incentive stuff, the entire year.
Bro, they got Jameis.
Jameis is not starting games for this team unless it's injury.
I think he'll start a few. I do think a few. I mean, Russ has missed time each of the last 2-3 years. He's missed a game or two. So I think you'll see a little Winston for sure.
All right. Before we go, one last question. Today is March 26th. April 25th is the draft. I got a nice Dubai trip planned
between the draft, by the way. Who was the pick at 3rd overall?
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, Travis Hunter.
I'm still going to say Shedeur Sanders, baby.
For those following the odds, Travis Hunter last week was +550 to go to the Giants. This morning, he is -150.
Yeah, a lot of people react to things differently.
Of course. But those are the thoughts. All right, thank you for listening. We'll be back before the draft. We'll be back after the draft. Talk to you guys next time.
Peace.